Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Shmiras HaLashon class learning. We'll begin with the Tefillah Al HaDibur, please, in the inside front cover. Ribono Shel Olam, Yiratzon Fenech Al Rachum Mechanin Shetizakeni Hayim Uvechol Yom Mishmar Piyu Lishanim Milashin Har Rechilas Azahar Miladabra Afilu Al Yishiyachi Vakol Shekein Akal Yisrael O Achilek Mehem Vakol Shekein Mil Yisrael Amidosef Shal Kol Shbarachu Azahar Miladabra Dibre Shekar Chanuf HaMachol Kas Ka'as Kaiva Onas Dvarim Havanas Panim Leitzanus Vakol Dibre Asar Vizakeni Shel Olam Dabra Kiyum Dabra Hatzorich Leinane Gufi Vinafshi Viyu Kol Masai Zibuai L'shem Shemaim Amen. We are learning L'ilui Nishmas Svi Gershom Ben Yovachan Ala V'sham is Nisham Shal Hava continuous Aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning and also continued Reform Surah Tovos for Bracha Avigail Bas Rachel Gita. So I just wanted to start with a story related to the category of gaiva. We just said V'ezar M'ledaber Divrei Shekar Lies Chanufa Inappropriate Flattery Machlokas Strife Ka'as Anger Gaiva. Okay. So I'm currently reading the biography of Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Kol Shevracha. If you don't have it and you haven't read it, you should get it. Is Gaon Olam and Gadol who lives in a different world, Mamish in a different world, like not living in Olam Haza. While he was in Olam Haza, it's just really unbelievable. There are people who are Bnei Olam Haba, but even in this world, that Olam Haza means nothing to them. School choices. The director of a cheder in Beit Shemesh approached Rav Aaron Leib with a question. There was a certain family, it was a second marriage, and the husband was trying to get his new wife's children into this school. The stepfather refused to back down from his insistence that the children be accepted when the school did not accept the children, and parents in the school were pressuring the school for whatever reason not to accept this man's stepchildren into the school. Okay. The principal came to Rav Aaron Leib for guidance. He said that this man was being stubborn and an unreasonable parent. He refused to accept the school's decision. Rav Aaron Leib was incredulous. It is gaiva to insist you are better than another person and to reject a child based on such haughtiness, he exclaimed. The father's acting crazy, the principal countered. We all think so. He's using any and all means at his disposal to push in his wife's children. Rav Aaron Leib retorted, other parents in the school also want the best chinuch for their children. Why isn't the principal calling them crazy? The parents pushing the school not to accept these children are full of gaiva. And he repeated several times, gaiva, gaiva, gaiva. I don't know if anybody saw his first year, so it was Chavta Alad Kislev, Mamash Erev Chanukah. I don't know if anybody saw it, but I remember after he was Nifter, there were a number of different videos going around about the Gaon and the Gadol. I don't know if anyone saw, you can see that on a video. I don't know if anybody sees it, but that part of this incident you can actually see. And he says, gaiva, gaiva, gaiva. He repeats it several times. Rav Steinman wasn't through. And then he said, with the criteria that some schools are setting up today, even Avram Avinu would not be accepted into a good school, Rav Aaron Leib railed. After all, he was a son of Terach, an idol worshipper. Rivka Imenu, she would definitely have trouble getting accepted as well. Basul for her father, Lavan for her brother. Let's not forget, Basul had poison available to kill Yezer. They probably didn't have to send Lavan to the drugstore to pick up a dose. Who knows how many people he killed with the poison at his disposal. Our imahos, Rachel and Leah, daughters of Lavan the swindler, wouldn't get accepted either. A good portion of our patriarchs, our matriarchs, would not be able to get into schools today. He then contrasted the situation to how things were during his youth in Europe. He grew up in Brisk. In Brisk, when I was growing up, said of Aaron Leib, there was one central cheder for those who wanted an authentic Jewish education. Everyone learned there. From the children of the Brisker Rav to the children of the simple craftsmen, the children of the laborers, even, quote, the communists. We all learned Torah together. So Aaron Leib was saying that it's tremendous gaiva to presume that I have a place in this institution and you do not have a place in this institution. Why? Because I don't want you there. I must be better than you. So I'm currently reading this biography, which I then tie in many of the things that we learn into our learning. So I thought it was very powerful. With that, let us open up as an introduction to our class. Let us open up. You know, it's true about anything. Someone has a better position in the community. Someone has more money than another person. Somebody gets into a better seminary. Someone's daughter gets into, quote, a better or more prestigious, better named seminary or high school than somebody else, etc. It's so shayach with so many things in life, and it can lead a person to gaiva, to this idea that for some reason I am better than somebody else, which of course can lead very quickly to Lashon Hara and Motzi Shema, Aaron Leib said, you know, then our avos and imahos will not even be accepted in society today. Listen, you could take that even further. Yaakov showed up at the well and he was poor. He had nothing. That's why he's crying, because Eliphaz came and took all his money. He doesn't even have a bracelet to give a call. Could you imagine? Says Hashan, that what jewelry did you get in the engagement? What jewelry did you get in the chuppah room? I didn't get anything. You wouldn't even be able to make a shirach today. And it all stems around, like I was saying, from a sense of gaiva. Really, it's only what Hashem gives me. What right do I have to be? Shaker chanufa mechalkas kas gaiva. What right do I have to assume I'm better than somebody else because what the Ribbono Shel Olam gave me or did not give me? So different. Why? We don't remember. We think what we have is ours, not remembering that we have nothing that's ours, only what's Hashem's. Page 118. Okay. Tasvav, Simon Tasvav. Okay. About all of these things, there is a very important inyan, a very important matter, very fearful, awesome matter. What will happen if we start to increase speech to be appropriate? We will begin to heal the Mizbech of Hashem that has been destroyed. Kama me oshanim, for even longer, for a few hundred years, from Eis Chorban Habayis. Last week was Asar B'Teves. We just fasted on Asar B'Teves. And you know, I know it's past us, but people tend to think it's one of the more lenient, I said people tend to think, more lenient or more mild, I'm looking for a better word, not as important fasts. It's the shortest fast. If you don't feel, I'm not talking about someone who has a medical excuse, really, I don't mean that facetiously, a medical reason to not fast. I've consulted with a rabbi and a doctor, but we tend to think it's one of the lesser fasts. In fact, it was the beginning of the end. It was the beginning of Mizbech Hashem Haharus, Zakama Me Oshanim, Meis Chorban Habayis. And if a Asar B'Teves falls on a Friday, we do not make it a Nidcha. You will actually fast going into Shabbos. I remember when it happened a few years ago. And somebody who was in one of my classes last week on Asar B'Teves told me after, and she told, was discussing with her husband, he told her that even though it can't ever happen on the calendar, if Asar B'Teves would fall on Shabbos, you would have to fast on Shabbos. So we think it's such a light, negligible, unimportant Messiah, Kippur, it's not Tisha B'Av, it's not even Tainis Esther, it has such ramifications because it was the beginning of Churban Bayis. Avor Avon Sin Hischelim. And why is the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because of the sin of Beis HaSeged. You could be in my school, but you cannot be in my school. You could sit in my row and shul, and you cannot sit in my row and shul. Why? Just because I'm better than you. Sin Hischelim. V'lashon Har. K'moshe Be'arna B'Shmer Salashon. As we've explained in the Sefer Shmer Salashon, I believe last time I quoted my nephew, right? Did my parents get there yet? And he wanted to know, did I say this last time? I think I did. How many bricks got off the Beis HaMikdash? Okay, so I said that. So what came to mind when I was preparing this, especially because I usually prepare these things, I re-prepare and re-prepare three times because I always anticipate we're going to do more than we actually do in Shir. So at the time I was preparing this, it was the story of Yosef. Right? And even though this week we just ended the story of Yosef from Vayechi 2 days ago, this week we're beginning Sefer Shmos, but actually the beginning of Shmos actually tells us once again about Yosef HaTzadik. Shmos b'nei Yisrael bar Mitzrayim, Yaakov Veso, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda goes through. Yosef haya b'Mitzrayim, that's what the Pasuk says. Yosef was in Egypt, and Rashi says, what do you mean Yosef was in Egypt? Excuse me, didn't you know from Parshas Vayeshev, Paraklamitas, that Yosef is in Egypt. So Rashi says to tell you that he was a tzaddik. He was the same Yosef who was a shepherd, the same Yosef who became Melech, and nevertheless, he remained in his tzidko. So Shmos actually begins. What's interesting is that the beginning of the Galus and the Shibud begins by recalling what? The Shvatim and Yosef. If you look at Sefer Shmos, it doesn't begin with Vayakam Chadash Amitzrayim Shalom Yadas Yosef, where Rashi says there's a mechokas between Rav and Shmuel. One says Mamish Melech Chadash, and one says Shenischal Shu Gezerosav. One says he was Mamish a new king. So why doesn't Sefer Shmos begin there? Why do you need to begin with telling me you're in Galus, right? We're in Shibud. The first thing we read about is about slander, propaganda machine like Joseph Goebbels, and then we move to tax oppression, Sarei Misim Lemananoso B'Sivlosam, and then we move on to Piso and Ramses, which is slave labor, the whole pattern of, it's unbelievable, the whole pattern of genocide, the whole pattern of Nazi Germany is mamish in the beginning of Sefer Shmos. It's mamish terrifying. B'nei Yisrael paro v'yishu tzu v'yirbu v'yatzmu v'ma'od ma'od v'atimalei ha'osar ha'aretz osam. The Jew becomes populous and many and fruitful and multiplies. The world becomes filled with the Jews, the earth, the land. I'm filled with the Jew, and all of a sudden, when there are too many, and we spread out too much, and we're too obvious, Yosef, now a new king arises who doesn't know. Yosef, let us be wise. Let us have a one-seat conference. How can we be wise against him? Begins with the propaganda machine. He tells his people, Rava Atumi Menu, they're so strong, they will join with our enemies. First propaganda machine. Then Sare Misim. Then we have tax oppression, which is financial oppression. You know, your bank account's not yours, your business is not yours, your bicycle and your radio is not yours. It doesn't begin with genocide, it begins with propaganda, moves into tax oppression, moves into slave labor, building a peace on Ramses. And finally, what does it end with? It's a pattern, it's a descent. It doesn't begin with genocide. It doesn't begin with the gas streams. It doesn't begin with the Danube River. It's a descent into genocide. So why does Shmos begin with why does it begin with Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, and tell me, Yosef, I am in Mitzrayim. Hello, I know all this. You told me the exact same thing already at the end of Bereishis. Why do I need to recall the brothers and Yosef for? What is the Torah teaching you? How did you get there in the first place? How did you get there in the first place? How did we get there in the first place? Because of the sin is chinam between the brothers back in Vayeshu, Perakla Mitzrayim, you should know where you are now. That's what the Chofetz Chaim exactly just says. Shenaschil rapi bezes mizbech Hashem haharus that kama meil shanim meischurban abayis avor avon sinis chinim v'lashen hara. That's how the whole pattern of shibur, of galus, of genocide began. Goyave Yosef estivasam ra al avihem. It's the first thing you know. So now when we get to Shemos and we learn about the shibur and the terrible oppression v'lo shamu elav mikotza ruach ha-mevod akasha, when Moshe the Savior comes upon the scene, the Jews can't even listen. They are broken. They're tzakachagna, tzahargna. They think they're never going to get out of here. This was my destiny, my father's destiny, my grandfather's destiny. We will be slaves from the beginning to the end of time. They can't even listen to Moshe. How do you get to there? Shemos begins. It doesn't begin with v'yakam ha-chadash. It begins with Yosef high up in Mitzrayim. How did Yosef end up in Mitzrayim? Because of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun. And how did that all begin? You have to go back to the beginning of Vayeshev, which is Lamed Zayin. Yosef, Estiv, Basam, Alavim. So, how do we get out of Gaza? What do we have to do? Reverse the equation. Reverse the equation. Accept children into our schools. Be friends with people who are not like us. Reduce the gaiva, anonas, dvarim, and the halbanis panim. Yavi Yosef. So the pasuk says the beginning of this whole process is the beginning of Vayeshev. Ela told us Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvas Reishana, these are the offspring of Yaakov. Yosef was 17 years old, he was a shepherd. Hayaroa es Echav, he was a shepherd with his brothers, Batson. Vuhu nar espune bilha vespune zilpa neshe aviv. We know that who did Yosef used to hang out with? The pasuk seems to indicate he would hang out with who? What I just read. I'll repeat it. B'nei Bilha ves b'nei Zelpa neshe aviv. V'yavi Yosef esti basam ra alavim. Before the dreams, before the ksonas pasam, before the favorite son, the first thing you know is he spoke Lashon Hara. So you know what Rashi says? Famous piece of Rashi. Rashi's quoting Chazal. That Yosef saw three things in the brothers he didn't understand and he brought it home to father. He thought they were eating Avram Minachai, limb from a live animal, without possibly shechting the animal. He thought they were making fun. Mezalzelim b'nei Shvachos. They were making fun of Dan, Naftali, God, and Asher. And finally, they were being inappropriate with women. I'll just tell you a couple of the mafarshim here. Baal Turim says, Dibasam ra'a, dibatam ra'a, dibasam ra'a, they're bad speech. Begamatria shehem ochlu be'evra minachai. Baal Turim very much rishon, the Torah focuses very much on gamatrias, roshe tevo, sofe tova. So he says in gamatria, what is dibasam ra'a? They were eating evra minachai. Dibasam itself, dalid, beis, taf, mem, begamatria maves. It's the same as Mavis. Dibasam, Dalid, Beis, Taf, Mem is Mavis. Melamed, Shalashan Hara, Horeg, Shlosha. And something that we've quoted before, the Lashon Hara kills three. So if you want to know what Dibasam does, it brings death. Who does it bring death to? The speaker, the listener, and the person talking about it. And in this case, you saw where it led to. It leads to the Shibbut of Mitzrayim. Okay. Na'ar is gematria shota. Okay. The Rabbeinu B'chai is very, very interesting. The typical understanding, according to Rashi, is that he was speaking about the B'nai Leah, and he was hanging out the B'nai Shvachos. You with me? The Rabbeinu B'chai says something different. Esti basam ra. First of all, he says, why does he use the word ra? Every diba, says Rabbeinu B'chai, is ra. It would be like saying something, I don't know, a full bag of garbage stinks. You don't need to say a full bag of garbage stinks. Why? A bag of garbage full of old food from your Hanukkah party is now going to smell. Say take out the bag of garbage. You don't have to say take out the stinky bag of garbage. Why not? It's already stinky. It's a bag of garbage. So the Rabbeinu B'chai says, Yadua ki kol diba ra'a. Why does it say Vayava Yosef as dibasam ra elavim? What should it just say? Vayava Yosef as dibasam elavim. So for in fact, I went to look up the pasuk. By in Bamidbar Perikud Gimel pasuk Lam and Beis Bamidbar 13:32. When the Meraglim come back, it says Parshas Shlach Vayotziu dibas haaretz Asher Taru Osa al Bnei Yisrael Leimar. What does it just say there? It doesn't say Vayotziu dibas ra'a or dibasam ra, because diba is automatically bad. So exactly. So when the Meraglim come, they say Ha'aretz Asher Avanu Bala Torah Ha'aretz Ochas Yashvahi V'chal Am Asher Hirin B'socha Anshei Midos. Can only say it's Dibara. It's automatically Dibara. So why does it say here that Yosef brought Dibasam Ra? Aval Hizkir Ra LaHaflig. It's for emphasis. It's to tell you how bad it was. As Dibasam Ra. Then he quotes Rashi. We already quoted Rashi. He saw three things in the B'nai Shvachos, in the B'nai Leia, that he didn't understand. Okay. And therefore, he was stricken with all three. He said they were eating Avram and Achai. His cloak, his special son's possum, was dipped in goat's blood and brought to father. He said they were being inappropriate with women. He had to deal with who? Ashes Potiphar. He said they were mezalzlim b'nei shvachos, calling the sons of Bila and Zilpah avadim. He was sold as an ever. Okay. However, the Ramban, Rabbeinu B'chai quotes the Ramban. The Ramban writes, if so, shouldn't the B'nai Shvachos have saved Yosef from his brothers? If he really loved the B'nai Shvachos, the B'nai sons of Bil, the sons of Bilha and Zilpah, shouldn't they have come to his protection? He was telling father that the B'nai Leia were speaking Lashon Hara about the sons of Bilha and Zilpah. They should have stood up for him. And if you would say that the sons of the Shvachos were afraid of the B'nai Leia, you can't say that. Ein zos, that's not correct. Why? Ki hayu arba, Dan v'Naftali Gad v'Asher. V'Reuven haya imahem. We know Reuven was trying to save Yosef. V'Yosef atzmo harei shisha. So how many sons are on this, should be potentially on the side of Yosef? Reuven, Yosef, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. How many? Six. Harei shisha keneged shar b'nei Leia. So how could, why wouldn't the sons of the Shvachos come to save him? V'anu ra'im b'vaday ki kol ha'achim hiskimu b'mechira. So he says it can't be that the sons of the Shvachos were actually good friends with Yosef. They were all maskim to sell him. Only Reuven, the eldest, and only Binyamin, the youngest, were out of the sale. Everybody else, including the B'nai Shvachos, actually wanted to sell Yosef. Look how far Machlokas takes us. There was no one on his side, except Binyamin, who was young and who was the same birth mother, and Reuven, who was the Bechor Va'alkein. And therefore, he says, Yosef's Lashon Hara was actually on the B'nai Shvachos, which is not something that we typically hear. It's a brand new, it's a totally new way of understanding this, for me at least. I never saw Rabbeinu B'chai before. Ki'al B'nai HaShvachos HaYemotzi HaDiba. V'heim B'nai Bilha B'nai B'zilpah. Who is he actually speaking Lashon Hara about, he says? Are you learning with me?
Yeah, yeah.
B'nai Bilha and B'nai B'zilpah. And that's why it says, he now explains the pasuk. Yosef was 17 years old. Haya roa es achav betzon. V'hu nar es b'nei Bilha v'es b'nei Zilpah. V'yave Yosef es dibasam ra'alaviyam. Who does it sound like he brings? If you look at the pasuk pshat, it makes perfect sense. He was a nar. He was a ro'etzon with the sons of Bilha and Zilpah. He brought their bad reports to father. Who does it seem like he's talking about? He was hanging out with B'nai Bilha Zilpah, comma. He brought bad reports about them to father. Who are you talking about? Doesn't mention anything about the sons of Leah, actually. We're so used to the drash that what happens? Sometimes we actually forget to look at the pshat. We're so used to the Rashi's talking because we learn a Chumash of the Rashi, so we should learn a Chumash of the Rashi. But actually, according to pshat, there's a whole different way of interpreting this pasuk. Yosef was 17 years old. He was a nar. He was a roa the tzon with bnei belha bnei zilba. He brought lashon hara about them to father. Who's he talking about? What does it even say? Where does it even mention the bnei leah? Actually, doesn't. According to pshat, it makes a lot more sense. And who's he really talking about? Bnei belha and zilba. Okay, and that's how he explains the pasuk. You just told me he's hanging out with Bnei Zilpa and Bnei Belha, and then you tell me he goes home and he speaks Hashanah about them. Who's the them? The Anaftali got an Asher. And then it says, Israel loved Yosef from all his sons. He's the son of his old age. He makes him a special cloak. And the brothers see that father loved him. Now who are we talking about? Vayu Echav ki oso ahavavihem. Who are we now talking about? Which Echav? Oh, now we're talking about the Bnei Leah. Vayiru Echav, when it says Vayiru Echav, his brothers see that father loved him more, makes him a special cloak, he has special status. Elu Bnei Leah. Benimsa, therefore, what do you find? What you just said, who hates Yosef? Everybody. He's talking Lashon Hara about the Bnei Zilpa, Bnei Bilha. It's clear from Pasha Psha. And the brothers, i.e. the rest of the brothers, Bnei Leah, see he is the favorite son. V'nimta Yosef, Sanui, Mikulam. Mibnei Bilha, Mibnei Zilpa, Mibnei Hadiba, Shehevi, Alavi, and why do Bnei Zilpa and Bnei Bilha hate him? He speaks Lashon Hara about them. Mibnei Leah, and why do the Bnei Leah hate him? Because Yaakov loved him more than everybody else. Interesting, Sfarno says, what was the Lashon Hara? What was the Lashon Hara? Totally different than Pshat and Rashi. They wasted their time. They're supposed to be shepherding the flocks, and they wasted their time. Because the ikar of their hishtadlus at that time was to be with the flocks, and they were wasting their time with other things. Interesting. That's what the Sfarno says. Solo Maisa, Yosef speaking Lashon Hara. Very fascinating to consider that it's not necessarily what we always think, especially according to Pasha Psha. It seems to be something totally different. But the Maisa, this is the beginning of Sefer Shmos. It goes all the way back, and it teaches us something else. What else does it teach us? Sometimes we cannot foresee the ramifications of our actions. We think it's so limited in scope. Mishnah Tamid. Tamid Lama Bez Amad Aleph. Ezu Chacham Haroes Nolad. Who is a wise man? One who can see the Nolad, meaning giving birth, i.e. the outcome of your actions. It just seems like a little bit of sibling rivalry. Who could envision that the end result would be? Ayitzav Paro L'Chalam Aleim Erkal Ben Hayyad HaRetashichu Shemos Last Pasuk of Perek Aleph. Who could imagine that this little bit of sibling rivalry, this innocent Lashon Hara, he's just 17 years old. Am I really chayav? Am I really liable? So I said one thing to somebody else. Look where I led Knesset Yisrael. And if we could try and imagine that, when we make one statement of gaiva, ka, zonas, var, mechilz, habanas, panim, leitzanas, chodi, brasher, Lashon Hara. It was one statement. Might be able to clap al chay, but the ramifications, once the words have left our mouth, snowball far greater than we can ever imagine. I'm on the last paragraph of page 118. Shetushuva einena yotzeis ki'imi ma'aseinu v'lo midvareinu. Tshuva is affected not from our actions, but, no, I said it wrong, ki'imi ma'aseinu, yes, from our actions, v'lo midvareinu, and not from our speech. So what does that mean? You could talk and talk and talk all day about doing teshuva and being better, and you could come to Shir and Shmir Salashon, and we could talk about it, and we could talk about it, but if we don't implement it with our ma'isim, then there is no repentance, there is no repair. Be'imkein, afilu im nomar mea pa'amim. We want to feel say 100 times. Achet shechatan fenecha b'lashon har. L'dibarnu dofi. Kals man shalo na'amo v'nishtadol esakin chetzel b'ma'aseh eino mo'il kals. So it doesn't matter how many times you can talk to your blue in the face and you can talk to your stand on your head. I'm so sorry for the sin I did lashon har. And you could talk and talk and talk. Interestingly, what koach are you using?
Speech.
Your mouth. What do you need to do? You need to put actions behind your words. As Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, Ein Amedro Shua Ikar Ela Amaisa. You could learn and learn and talk and talk and read and read and listen to Chavetz Chaim a minute a day or whatever they have. A lesson a day, it's not going to help. Eino Mo Il Klal. Until you are mishtadel atakin chetza b'maisa, you have to take concrete action. So I've said it many times. I'm going to tell you something that it really does help me. Bli Ein Har Hashem should help me to continue. I really try, can't say always, but I utilize this tool and it really works. I utilized it a few times over this weekend. My acronym, I've said it to you before, THINK. And it stands for, is it thoughtful? Helpful, humble. Interesting, important, intelligent, necessary, kind. And you will find, I could say almost without fail, I think, that if it doesn't fit into one of those categories, you shouldn't say it. Is it thoughtful? Is it helpful, humble? We just had a story about Gaiva. Is it interesting, important, intelligent? Is it necessary and kind? And sometimes when I want to say something, I really think that. And if it doesn't fit into that category, that one of those categories, Hashem should help me. Sometimes I'm able to not say it. And what we need to do, whatever trick works for you, whatever tool, I shouldn't say trick, whatever tool works for you, we need to find something that practical, not just lofty on the level of intellect. It's not enough to talk about it and learn about it and clap al-khayr 100 times. You need every person to come up with some tool that in the moment before you're about to speak something negative, it doesn't have to be necessarily Lashon Hara. There are many categories here that we're talking about. Is there a point to what I'm saying? For me, it works. What I say, my acronym of THINK. Whatever you can come up with, you need to find something, latch onto it, and utilize it before you're about to speak. It could be something else for you. You know, you don't have time in the moment of the Yetzer Hara to go through a 45-minute shiur. When the Yetzer Hara is there, he's really very strong, and he's about to entice you to sin. So you have to have some tool in your arsenal, because otherwise, ain't a mo'ul klal. It doesn't matter. Hashem doesn't care how many times you say, Achei Chachatam Fenecha B'Lashon Hara. He doesn't care how many times you say it if there's no kavana to change. Because then it's wasted words. If there's kavana to change, it's the most precious thing to Hashem. But you need to show him. So come up with something. Whatever works for you, come up with something. And therefore, my brothers and my friends, says the Chafetz Chaim, Naschil v'nishtadel, b'kol kolcheinu. We have to start and try with all of our might. The kavod Hashem yisparach v'torah. So for the kavod of Hashem yisparach and his Torah, l'sakein hacheir hachamur hazeh. You have to in some way be misaking to fix, to rectify, to repair this terrible serious sin. Shehichriv mekdashenu. We spoke about that already. We already said in depth, sort of in depth, given time constraints. How did we come to say for Shemos? Why does Shemos, we said, begin with the story of Yaakov and the Shvatim and Yosef was in Mitzrayim? Because what does it remind you? What does the Torah want to remind you of? Don't forget so quickly how we got there. You want to know how this whole terrible calamity befell us? Yosef Haya ben Mitzrayim. Why is Yosef in Mitzrayim? Because of Reuven, Shimon, and we just saw a beautiful Pshav, the Rebbeinu Bechaya. Who actually was against Yosef? Everybody. He spoke Lashon Hara about the B'nei Shvachos. The B'nei Leah were jealous because they were the sons of the first wife, and nevertheless, he was a favorite son, and he did not have one friend. Shehichriv mikdashenu, v'higalnu me'artzenu. If you look at the Haftarah that we read on Tisha B'Av, you will see that also in Bais Rishon, there was his Orus Midas Hadin, there was an awakening of the divine judgment, Al Yisrael lahachrivim b'shvil avonos eila. That even in the time of Bais Rishon, we quoted this Gemara before, by the way, in this class, that in the time of Bais Rishon, there was also midas hadin for these sins, and whoever remembers, the Gemara says, the Bais Rishon lo hava beis sin eschinem. If you remember, the Gemara says, I believe it's Yuma 9b, the Gemara says, in the time of Bais Rishon, there wasn't sin eschinem. After the Gemara tells you that in the time of Bais Sheni, the people were oskim b'torah mitzvos g'mdus chasadim b'pnei macharav. So the Gemara says, b'pnei shayisavol sin eschinem, even though it was a time period of Torah, Gemilas Chasadim, it was like a very stark Geshmak period. I would want to live in a place of Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, so why was Bais Sheni destroyed? Because of Sinas Chinem. Then the Gemara says, Bais Rishon Mohave Bais Sinas Chinem. In the time of Torah's temple, there was no Sinas Chinem. So who remembers? Remember the Gemara says? We've discussed it here. Even before we saw Gemara inside, we discussed it there. Eil b'nei Adam shayoshvim va'ochlim zeh b'zeh. These are people who would sit and eat together. V'dokun zeh zeh b'charvot shabilishonam. They would spear one another with the swords of their tongue. So the Gemara says, Ataka, there was a problem by Bais Rishon. Also, what was it? Swords of the tongue. And by the way, it's an unbelievable statement. That's what we do. If you think of a simcha, we sit and we eat and we schmooze together and we spear one another with the swords of our tongues. We must begin to repair this matter with our whole will, with our very selves, everyone again. For me, it works. I'm telling you, a mamish works, ladies. Think about it. If you have, take 5 seconds before you're about to speak. Is it thoughtful? I think this to myself. It could be thoughtful, but then I think to myself, is it intelligent? Is it important? And sometimes it's not important. No, I skipped H. Is it thoughtful? Is it helpful, humble? I'm repeating it. Is it intelligent, important, interesting, necessary, and kind? So if it's not, don't say it. So what does he say? If you really take it upon yourself to change, then what will happen? You'll find you have a lot of siyata d'shmaya. You're not going to do it on your own. Everybody needs help for great and important matters, for small matters. We can't lo tov hayos ha'adam levado. We need an ezer connecto. We always need somebody opposite us, helping us get through the vicissitudes of life. Life is not an easy place. The world is not a walk in the park. You need people next to you, you need people holding you up, you need people advising you. So, you should know you will have the ultimate helper. Who is the ultimate helper? The Ribbono Shel Olam. What do you have to show him? You want to change. He will help you, but you have to show him you want to be helped. It's like any person who wants help, you know, you have to go to the nutritionist to say, I want help. You have to go to the psychiatrist to say, I want help. You have to go to the therapist to say, I want help. But when you show motivation and determination, they will help you. But you need to go there. You need to appear in the office. You know, the nutritionist does not know Miss Anonymous sitting in her house with bad eating habits. You have to go and say, I'm here because I want you to help me. So what are you showing? You're trying to help yourself. So when you show Hashem, you're trying to help yourself. He will come bivadai, and he will help us. Lihis aneg kacha tamid. Always and consistently, he will help us. Okay, ma'amram, as the Gemara says, Masechus Yuma, very famous, habali taher, mesayin oso. If you want to be purified, heaven will help you. But again, you have to show the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to go to the nutritionist. You have to go to the therapist. You have to, person thinks they have strep throat. So the doctor doesn't know you have strep throat, so you're sitting in your house. That's not going to help you. And so what does it mean? You have to do a shtadlus. Go to the doctor, you get a strep test. Then the doctor says, oh, I could help you. So you go to Hashem and you take the first steps. You think before you speak. Or whatever tool works for you. I don't care what tool it is. Whatever tool. Again, remember, in the minute of the Nisayon, you don't have time to say, I'm going to Ayutar. I'm going to listen to 45 minutes here. Forget it. Ladies, that's the Yetzer Hara. That's preparing. But in the moment, you have seconds to win the battle. Seconds. And know how strong your opponent is. He's so strong. Seconds to win the battle. You need to come up with a quick fix. I'm putting that in brackets because it's not a quick fix. Some sort of tool that in the moment you will be helped. But you should know that when you have it, it's like going to the doctor's office. You're going to the ultimate healer. Baruch Wofei Cholim. We're spiritually sick. Lashon Hara, Rechilas. I don't even like to say Lashon Hara anymore based on our learning in this class. We've so broadened our understanding of Shmiras HaLashon. Chanufa, Machokas, Kaivas, Kaiva, Onasra, Mabanspan, Leitzan, Chol Dibur Asr, Sheker. We're sick. We're spiritual cholim. So we have to go to Baruch Rofei Cholim. Say, I'm trying. I'm here. I took the first step. You can help me. Habali, it's such, it's so empowering. Messiah Oza. But you can't sit at home saying, oh, my throat's hurting me. And not go to the doctor. What will happen? What happens when you're in the presence of a person who is mashpia, others latova, others will start to be influenced. Certainly, you will arouse other people, that they will want to join the bandwagon in a good way. You will arouse other people. They're also going to want to say, oh, you know, I also, look what you're doing. It's so good. I also want to be like you. And what will happen? We collectively together will arouse rachamim min hashamayim al amo va'al torah. So through this change, concrete change, going to the Rofei Cholim, taking positive action, being helped by heaven, other people will be inspired. You know, it's maybe it's good to watch our tongues. Other people will be inspired. Mida kenega mida, when we are me'orer others, So the Ribbono Shel Olam will be Kavi Acho Yisoru Rachamim Min Hashemayim. So this reminded me, they gave this out of my daughter's school in TMM after the Patira, the recent Patira of Dr. Richie Friedman, Zichrono Livracha, sudden and shocking Patira, and increasing acts of kindness to merit Rachamei Shamayim, emulating the exemplary chassid of Dr. Richie Friedman, says in the Allah Vashalom. And my daughter said that Mrs. Gornish spoke to the girls, and what she said was, excuse me, we're in a time of din right now. Hashem Yirachem Aleinu, that we're in a time of din. Such a ma'isa is an act of din against Knesset Yisrael. A person on such a caliber who dedicated himself to Tzarchei Tzibur, Kol Oskim B'Tzarchei Tzibur Amuna, who said, Kol Shbarach Yishalim Scharam, such a person and such a madriga, so dedicated to the family and his patients and the community and the Klal and Hatzalah, the medical director, and to the Shiva, Rabbi Spiegel, unfathomable. And Mrs. Gornick says to those, we're in a time of din. So if we're in a time of din, how can we change din to rachamim? By increasing rachamim to other people, which is really what the Chavetz Chaim is saying here in this Sefer. When we are ma'orer others to watch their speech, in other words, we are ma'orer somebody else the tova, then the Ribbono Shel Olam Midah K'minhag HaMidah will be ma'orer, so to speak. He will be aroused. He will be awakened, so to speak, to be kind to us. And he specifically says, Yisoru Rachamim Min HaShemayim. So this little poster, this card that they gave out to all the students, the Talmidos, number one is a quote from Masechah Shabbos, and number two is a quote from Masechah Rosh Hashanah. Masechah Shabbos, Kol HaMirachim Al HaBrios, Mirachamim alav min hashamayim. Whoever has mercy on his fellow human being, actually means on creations, by the way. Call him mirachim al habrios. Anyone who has mercy on creations, mirachamim alav min hashamayim. So there is a relationship here. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, we will be treated the way we treat others. So Rachman al-Litzan, the brothers and Yosef, we're talking about the Shiftei Ka, there was some level of mistreatment. So what was Midah K'neged Midah? What happened to us in Egypt? We were mistreated. How does Sefer Shmos begin? Yosef Hayab Mitzrayim. Yosef Hayab. I know Yosef Hayab Mitzrayim. I know that since Perek Lametas. No, no, says the Torah. You want to know how you got here? Yosef Hayab Mitzrayim. When we treat others, gaiva, 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 said Rav Steinman. It's gaiva to think you're better than another Jew. The reverse is kol ha'merachim al habrios. Merachim al minashamayim, says the Chavetz Chaim, Yisoru Rachim minashamayim. Al Amo, who does not daven and long for Rachim Shamayim? What's the key to Rachim Shamayim? Be merachim on fellow human beings. Could be holy, you could learn the Kol Torah Kulo. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, this is brought down in a Sefer on Allah on the Yamim Noraim, by the way. I may quote in this class or a different class, I don't know. You could say, Av Sefer Tehillim, learn the whole Kol Torah Kulo. The worst thing in the world, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, is to cause another person hurt. Because Midah K'neged Midah ultimately causes damage to Knesset Yisrael. And finally, Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin, we spoke about this in class. Kol HaMavir Al Midosav Ma'avirin Lo Al Kol Pish'av. Whoever is Ma'avir Al Midos, we had an in-depth class about this a couple of months ago, heaven will forgive him for all of his sins. So the key to turning around this gezerah, this time of din, and the Chavetz Chaim says that, is by improving ourselves. When we improve ourselves, Hashem will help us. When we improve ourselves and Hashem will help us, others will be inspired. When others will be inspired, we will be me'orer others, then Midah K'neged Midah, Hashem will wake up, so to speak. He will be aroused and shower us with rachamim halavai. We should see that this equation of galus should be reversed. So before we, what is it, adjure? What do they say in court? What?
Adjure.
Yeah, I said it right. Adjure for the day. Advice. Okay. So we have been speaking about shidduch, employment, or business partnership. Halacha, okay? So halacha classifies such a person as an advisor. You should not make the suggestion if you have reason to suspect it may not be in the interest of either party. Remember, we spoke about this in depth. That you, on the one hand, you have to be very careful you say in shidduch. And by the way, really, everyone, if you're in such a massive, and we said this before, you need to ask a rav. Every situation is decided independently. So this is guidelines in halacha, we're quoting from halacha a day, but it does not mean if you're in a matzav, you must ask a rav. But what we did, so with that is our introduction, very important. What we spoke about is the fact that, what did we speak about? Yeah, you can't trick two parties. Don't think you know what they want better. So someone has a non-negotiable criteria. We spoke about this. You think it's a silly criteria. They just need to get married. Forget the criteria. You have a perfect boy for them. That perfect boy has that exact criteria. She doesn't want. You cover it up. Nobody tells them. What happens after marriage? We quoted from Mishpacha. We spoke about this. Remember? So what happens? There's terrible resentment. There's terrible upset. There's terrible shock. There's terrible trauma. I did not want this. You think you know better than me. In fact, that goes back to what Ryan Leib said. It's Mamish Gaiva. You're trying to make a shidduch l'shem shemayim, or because you want to say you made a shidduch. It's gaiva. You don't know better than what she wants. You think it's silly? That's not the point. That's what she wants. Okay, that's what we've spoken about the past few classes. A similar set of rules applies to one who did not make the suggestion, but whose advice is sought by one of the parties. So you weren't the person who wrote the shidduch, but now they come to you for advice. He too must not be guilty of misleading the people. And this is even more common than the other way, because it's very common to get phone calls about somebody you know, even if you did not make the shidduch. This happens to me often. In fact, his responsibility, oh, I can't believe it. You know what the next words are? His responsibility is even greater than that of the shadchan. Listen to what that just said. Whereas the shadchan suggested that the shidduch should be considered, the advisor often states a definitive opinion regarding the proposed relationship, which may profoundly influence the party's final decision. You know, it's very interesting. I recently had a call for a shidduch. My daughter, Kanai Nahara, Baruch Hashem, is very wise. And she overheard the phone call. And I was talking about the family, etc. And one of the things they say is there's no machlokas in the families. Anyway, fine. I'm not giving any details at all. But I hung up. You know, my daughter said to me, she's in 10th grade, she said, Mom, you shouldn't say that. She said, maybe there's machlokas you don't know about. And then they're going to get married. And there's machlokas and they're going to be upset. You told them there's no machlokas. This is a true story. The responsibility of the person who is called is even greater than that of the shadchan. She wasn't saying Chas Shalom, there was. She doesn't know at all. She's just saying you should not say that so definitively because you don't know.
Or you say, to the best of my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Say it right.
Or you
correct.
Say, to the best
correct.
Of my knowledge,
correct.
I don't know any
muscle. Correct. But not to make such a blanket statement. Pardon me.
People will often ask you that question directly. Is there shalom bias? Is there machlokes?
You have to say from what I see, from what I know. That's what she told me. Whereas the shadchan merely suggests the shidduch should be considered, the advisor states a definitive opinion. I'm guilty. I just did it. Not just. It was a couple few months ago. Regarding the proposed relationship, which may profoundly influence the party's final decision. Giving advice is not a matter to be taken lightly. In fact, in Parshas Kedoshim, when the Torah says, "Lifnei iver lo sitein michsha," before a blind person, you should not put a stumbling block. So Chazal do not interpret this literally at all. This is taken totally on the level of drash. Chazal say, as quoted by Rashi, it means, "Lifnei iver lo sitein michsha," means you should not give shalo litein eitzah she'eino hu geneslo. You should not give advice that is not appropriate. So this is not only should not be taken lightly, it's a del raisa. It's a del raisa. By the way, it's an interesting fact. Why wouldn't it be taken literally? Usually the mitzvahs, something like that, there's the literal pshat, and then there's the drash, because Chazal cannot even conceive that a Jew would place a physical stumbling block before a blind person. Of course, it's not interpreted according to Pasha Pshat. How could you imagine that anyone from Knesset Yisrael, we are Rachman and Baishanim and Gomlei Chassanim, would mamash put a brick in front of a blind person? Chazal say this pasuk has no literal translation. It means you should not give advice. So keep in mind, not only is it not a matter to be given lightly, but you could be over a doraisa. So my daughter was absolutely right. We're learning it now. One does not give guidance unless he believes he understands the situation. He has the insight and life experience necessary to properly direct the petitioner, which tells us that if you don't know, just say, I can't answer that question. I don't know. Now, they could interpret it however they want. They may think you're trying to cover up information. It's not the point. If you're not the one who can give advice, you're mamish over a rice, and you could lead to a situation of chas v'sham mechitza between the two parties. If you really give bad advice, and then they come back and they say, you told me there's no mechokas. Okay? One should never encourage a match he knows nothing about. This is so practical. For the sake of seeing to it that the person, quote, it's in quotes, finally gets married. This is what we've been discussing. Don't just push it because you want to say you had a hand in getting these two singles together. One should never, I'm repeating this, encourage a match he knows nothing about. for the sake of seeing that the person, quote, finally gets married. While may encourage a match only, excuse me, if he sincerely believes it is truly good for both parties. This is a long one, but 1 second is continued on this page. Thus, okay, two more paragraphs. While the advisor's first obligation is to the party he is advising, it is forbidden to encourage a shidduch he clearly knows is bad for the other party. This would be considered lashon hara in the form of speech that will cause harm. It is forbidden also for an advisor to discourage a relationship unless his disapproval is based on first-hand information that was carefully analyzed. But kids are scared of other people's relationships. That was a bad joke. Wow. The Maisa, it's not really such a joke. If you have nothing positive to contribute to that relationship or the formation of that relationship or the beginning of the magic, stay out of it. Don't think you know better. Gaiva, sort of made to think you know better than somebody else. That's what he said. And we said in the beginning of the shiur, can be applied to so many situations, including the conclusion of our shiur. I want to see you get married. What's that statement about? I want to see them get married. It has nothing to do with what you want to see. If it's not good, or if you know nothing, don't make things up. By the way, I was not Chas V'Shalom trying to make things up. To the best of my knowledge, from what I know about this family, it truly seems, from what I understand, that there is no mechel, because I was not trying to mislead. But my daughter pointed out to me that I didn't say it properly. Finally, if an advisor encourages petitioner to pursue a given shidduch, but his advice was ignored, he may not draw the conclusion that, quote, the person just doesn't want to get married. I don't know if anybody saw a mishpacha 2 weeks ago. Not the Shabbos before. The family first. There was a letter, a piece written by, quote, an older single. That's what it was called. And she said, by the time you got to that situation in life, people think they know better than you. People blame you. You're so picky. You're so this. It becomes your fault, she was saying, that you're not married because everyone thinks they know better than when you are. And it was a two-page piece. It was very, very powerful. So if your advice is not taken, you cannot say, and it's in quotes, they just don't want to get married. You can't say in quotes, they are incapable of making commitments. These are things we hear all the time. It's Pasha, Lashon Hara, Motzi Shema, and Gaiva. And you cannot say, quote, they have unrealistic expectations. To make such statements about singles, this is so relevant in our, unfortunately relevant in our society. Halavai, there should be no older singles, so we shouldn't have these presumptions, but we do. They're so picky. Why can't they just get married? They can't commit. You hear this all the time. To make such statements is Lashon Hara and perhaps Motzi Shema. According to Rav Shteim, it would also be Gaiva. Okay, ladies. Any questions or comments?
No.
Yes?
No, I said, wow, what a wow.
Hashem, we should say, Sefasai Tiftach, Ufiyagi Tilsacha.